If you have your Bibles tonight, please take them and turn with me, please, back over there to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 28. Ezekiel, chapter number 28. I kind of began scratching at a subject this morning. I want to scratch a little more tonight. This afternoon, on the way to eat, there's two more parts came. Just the title and the subject matter. For this series of messages, and I don't apologize for that. I want God to speak to our hearts. I believe that if we would understand the importance of what's in front of us, it would help us in these days. We want to read from Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse number 4. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. If you go back to Isaiah, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Isaiah 14:13, for thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to stand in this place. God, I pray, Lord, this one service could make the difference in somebody's life. God, I pray that the Word of God tonight would not just be preached in its purity, but God, in its power. God, I pray that the Word of God tonight would prove to be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, it doesn't need anything added to it. It just needs to be proclaimed. Help us to do that faithfully this evening. God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and help us in these days. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I said this morning that the message was birthed in my heart out of what Brother Jones preached out of the book of Ruth about Orpah on Tuesday night. He preached on this subject, the soaring cost of selfish choices. The soaring cost of selfish choices. And this morning we began talking about the origin of selfish choices. Where did it all begin? When I asked someone that question today, they said, well, it began with Adam and Eve. And that's what we would think. And as far as mankind is concerned, that's true. But you see, the selfish choice had already been made by Satan before he ever entered into the garden with Adam and Eve. He had decided that he was going to rebel against God, that he was going to exalt his throne. And I'll give you some things tonight that I trust will be a blessing. I believe these statements are worthy of repeating. We will never be more like Satan than when we live for self in an attitude of rebellion. That we're like Satan when we do that. Amen. I don't think there's anybody in their right mind that wants to be like Satan. Do you? Did anybody name your little boy Lucifer? Amen. Did anybody name your little boy the dragon or the devil or that serpent? Amen. We don't want to be like that. And we don't want our sons and daughters to be like that either. Amen. But the Bible is teaching us here there's a thing called rebellion. It's like the sin of witchcraft. Let me give you this. I didn't make mention of this morning, but the thought just came to my mind. How many remembers when God told Moses to speak to the rock? How many remembers that? Now, the first time God told Moses to take his rod and smite the rock. Amen. And it's important. But the second time, God told Moses to speak to that rock. How many remembers what Moses said? He said, "Hear now, you rebels." How many remembers that? "Must we fetch you water out of the rock?" I'm going to ask you a question. Where was the rebel that Moses didn't see? That's the rebel that's hard to see. Amen. It's not hard to see those rebels that are out yonder, but that in the mirror is hard to see. Amen. And my friend, let me tell you something right now. It cost Moses. That smiting that rock when he was supposed to speak to that rock cost Moses his trip into the land of Canaan. How many knows that's right? Amen. I'm telling you, the origin here will never be more like Satan than when we're living for ourselves in rebellion. And we'll never be more like the Savior than when we are living for others in submission. Amen. I believe the preacher said to somebody, had on a t-shirt, said, "It's about me." Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's not many people maybe wearing them, but there's a whole lot of them got that attitude. Say amen. And down there at the job, down there at the school, down there in the neighborhood. And I'll be honest with you, my friend, there's a whole lot of people just like Diotrephes. I thank God not in this church, not that I know of, but they love to have the preeminence. You find that in the Word of God. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what is that?" That's pride. They want to be lifted up in pride. Boy, I tell you what, I thank God. I know a bunch of people. Amen. They do great things for the Lord, but they don't want it mentioned. They want to be off in the shadows somewhere. They just want to serve God. They want God to get the glory. They don't want to let Satan come in, amen, and rob them of the blessings of God in their life. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm just trying to get started. Amen. But tonight, the origin of selfish choices started with old Slewfoot. I praise the Lord. Every day, life is a series of choices. Every day. You're going to get up in the morning and you're going to choose whether or not you eat breakfast. You're going to get up in the morning and you're going to choose what to eat for breakfast. You're going to get up in the morning and you're going to choose whether or not to read your Bible. You're going to get up in the morning, you're going to choose whether or not to pray. You're going to get up in the morning and you're going to choose something to wear. And I'm telling you, I believe with all of my heart, there's revival right here. If we included Him in every choice we made, glory to God, there's revival. The origin of selfish choices, none other than old Slewfoot, "Till iniquity was found in thee." I'll give you some things tonight, and I trust it'll be a blessing. I'll give you three things, and I'll be done. Those that know me, you didn't get too excited. Amen. I'm going to give you three things, and I'll be done tonight. Number one, I want to look at the foolishness of selfish choices. The foolishness of selfish choices. And let me ask you something. How many of you have ever made a choice, and then there came a time in your life when you just felt right foolish about it? Amen. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, when we look at Satan, listen, the Bible said God created Lucifer. He made him the son of the morning. Lucifer, the light bearer. He was to be the leader of the angels of heaven and the guardian of the throne of God. Let me say something to you. How many thinks that's a pretty good position? Amen. But it wasn't good enough. He couldn't be the guardian to the throne. He wanted to be God on the throne. I'm going to tell you something right now. God has blessed us. Amen. We get to be His children. That's a pretty good position. Amen. I'll take the lowest on the totem pole, if there is a low on the totem pole, and be in the family of God and get to serve God over what the devil has to offer. The foolishness that's behind selfish choices. That wasn't good enough for him. That wasn't good enough. Now let me give you this. Just a couple of things here. He said unto him, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10. He wasn't content to be the guardian. No wonder. Let me say this. He could have been content to be the guardian of the throne and the leader of the angels. Is it any wonder? Listen to me carefully right here. This is good. Godliness. The Bible said godliness with contentment is, somebody tell me, great gain.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. So here comes another time when we're getting like old Slewfoot, when we discontent with where we are, with what we have, with what God's given us to do. Say amen. I'm telling you right now, with what we have, when we're discontent, look out. It's an opportunity to make some pretty selfish choices in our life. I believe with all of my heart. There have been people, listen to me carefully, there have been people that have made a move, maybe made a career move, and never one time considered the school that the kids are going to. Never one time considered what church are we going to go to. You say, preacher, why did they make the move? Somebody tell me why they made the move. All they could see was a dollar sign. I'm telling you right now, they weren't content. But if you're in the will of God, I don't care what the dollar sign is, be content with it, because there's no dollar sign worth getting out of the will of God. There is no dollar sign worth getting out of the will of God. None. There's no vehicle, no house, no land, no property, no job, no prestige, no name worth getting out of the will of God. There is not. But here, old Satan, he wasn't content. We see the foolishness of selfish choices. He couldn't be content where he was. He wanted to be a little higher, and he ended up being a lot lower. There's a whole lot of people that wanted to be a little higher and ended up a lot lower. A lot lower. Oh, help us tonight, Lord Jesus, to feel the foolishness and selfish choices. You say, preacher, what happened? Well, number one, look out here. He was separated from the God, the Creator, the great Creator of the universe. The one, listen, if I understand it correctly, the angels were already there. Listen to me carefully. You say, preacher, are Jesus and Lucifer brothers? How many knows there's people out there believe that? That's crazy. Jesus is not a created being. Say amen. I mean, God created the angels. Amen. But Jesus, hallelujah, is Lord. He's not a created being. Read John chapter 1. He's the Creator. Amen. Now let me give you something tonight. Here he is. Satan. Here he is. With God. He gets to see what God has done. But he's not content with that. So what did God do? Look what the Word of God said right here. The Bible said here in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 28 and verse 16, the Bible said, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. You say whatever you want to. It was a selfish choice. And the foolishness is revealed now. Because instead of being with the God that spoke it all into existence, he's against the God that spoke it all into existence. He's full of P-R-I-D-E. He's full of pride. He's full of sin. He's full of rebellion. He still is. And tonight, there's the foolishness. Not only was he separated from the great Creator, but he was separated from a great company. You say, preacher, what do you mean? In Revelation 5:11, the Bible said, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. Thank God they're still round about the throne. Hallelujah. Thank God all of them didn't fall. Amen. God's still got some that's worshiping him and crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Not only was he separated from God, but he's separated from those angels, that great multitude. Listen to what the Bible said here. Many angels round about the throne, the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You say, preacher, why is it written like that? This is just East Tennessee hillbilly thought. You can't count them. There's so many of them, amen. It would take a God in heaven to know how many of them there is. The precious angels. Listen tonight. He left a great company. And he left the great God of the universe because of his foolishness. The selfishness is revealed in foolish choices. The foolishness in selfish choices. Let me give you secondly tonight. The followers in selfish choices. You say, preacher, what I do with my life is my own business. Let me challenge you something right here. That's where Roe versus Wade went in the courtroom. When a woman said, what I do with my body is my own business. And I say amen until you get pregnant. Amen. Down in there, God said He's looking before we're even fashioned, before we're even formed. Read Psalm 139. I'm going to tell you something right now. That life begins at conception. And my friend, God is taking note. Tonight, listen to me carefully. I believe with all of my heart, there's followers in the selfish choices. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you mean. Well, it's not all about you and it's not all about me. When Satan rebelled, according to some, I'm not going to be dogmatic about this, but if you go over to Revelation chapter 12 and then you drop down in the chapter, and Lucifer, Satan is referred to as a star, and one third of the stars were cast out of heaven earlier. According to most that I've read after, they believe that one third of the angels fell. Now you can, that's what it looks like. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. You read it. You study it. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I know this. If one followed him, that was one too many. And I know that some followed him, because you can read over there, my friend, in the Word of God, where the Bible said, and the angels which left their first estate are reserved in chains of darkness. I'm telling you tonight, listen, it's not just you. It's not just me. Somebody's following you. And somebody's following me. The followers in selfish choices. How many of y'all know that most of us in our makeup, I'm not talking about stuff you put on the face, I'm just talking about the makeup of our lives, are generally geared toward being a leader or geared toward being a follower. How many realizes that? Amen. And there's nothing wrong with either one. You say, preacher, why not? Because God made the gears. God geared us just like He wanted us to be geared. Amen. And so some of us are geared towards leading, and some of us are geared toward following. But I want to tell you something right now. It doesn't matter who you are, somebody will follow you. If you're a follower following a leader, somebody will follow the follower. How many knows I'm telling it right there? But I'm going to tell you something. This Lucifer, this son of the morning, he, my friend, was set in heaven to be the ruler over the angels and to be the one that would lead them, to be the light. But he fell, and the foolishness of his fall is revealed here in the Scripture. The foolishness of selfish choices. And then the followers in selfish choices. Now, let me give you this. You're going to hear this later in the series, but right now I've got to touch on it. Remember the rich man? The Bible said he fared sumptuously every day. But he died without God. The goodness of God was supposed to lead that man, Brother Randy, to repentance. But he rejected God. You say, preacher, how do you know he rejected God? Because he lifted his eyes in hell. Nobody lifts their eyes in hell unless they reject God. Now I'm going somewhere. Wait just a minute. How many say, well, preacher, that was a selfish way to live. Amen. Enjoying the blessings that fall from God Almighty. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. But with a disdain and a disregard for the things of God. Now, what happened? Here's what happened. Somebody was following him. He didn't realize it until it was too late. He's already in hell and he realizes, I've got five brothers that are on the way. He had lived his life, a life of selfish choices. He had lived a life of splendor, yes, but a life of selfishness where he was number one. And now he's concerned about his brethren, but it's too late. It's too late to be concerned. And Abraham said, if they believed not Moses and the prophets, neither would they believe though one rose from the dead. Tonight, I believe it's important that we let this sink in. And the origin of selfish choices, the foolishness, we see it here in the life of Satan. And we see it here that there's followers in the life of Satan. But let me give you this tonight. I'm done with this. I'll be a few minutes right here. But I want to look at the future of selfish choices. How many's ever heard someone say this? And maybe it's not good English. I don't know exactly. I haven't thought it out how to say it in good English. But have you ever heard anybody say, Brother John, there's no future in that? How many's ever heard somebody say something like that? Oh, yeah, there is. God just give that to me, by the way. Oh, yeah, there is. May not be a good future, but there's a future in every choice that we make. If we make a choice for the self, there's a future in it. If we make a choice for the Savior, there's a future in it. It's called the law of reaping and sowing. Excuse me, sowing and reaping. You sow first, then you reap later. You reap what you sow. You reap after you sow. You reap more than you sow. Right? The law. You can't change it. It's the law of sowing and reaping. But now, listen to me tonight. Let's look at the future. Let's look at the future of these selfish choices. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 20. I'll be with you in just a minute. You say, preacher, what was his immediate future? Well, according to the book of Job, and by the way, I'm not trying to be smart or nothing, but according to what I can understand, Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. And so, in the near future, after his decision, after his foolish choice, after his selfish choice, he's going to and fro in the earth. That's what he's doing in Job chapter number 1. He's going to and fro in the earth. Well, let me ask you a question. How many's read where Paul was caught up into the third heaven? Whether in the body, I don't know. Whether out of the body, I don't know. How many believes Paul done figured it out? It's better to go to and fro in the heaven with him than to and fro in the earth without him. I mean, he's in trouble. And you know, he's not content to be in trouble. He's just like many others that are in trouble. He wants to get somebody else in trouble too. Am I right or am I wrong? How many of y'all remember your sinful days? Sin was more fun with a partner. Say amen right there. But I'm going to tell you something about the pleasure in sin. It don't last long. What we see here, not only is he going to and fro in the earth, but what's he doing after that in his future? He's appearing before the throne of God. In Revelation 12 and 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So here's the guy. That the angel that had the privilege. How many of y'all know you better be praying for your pastor during this series? He don't like to be talked about. He don't like to be exposed. But if you preach the whole counsel of God, you got to talk about him somewhere along the way. And he's up to the same old bag of tricks. And you know what's sad? Mankind is swallowing the hook the same way they did in the Garden of Eden. Here he is, the accuser of the brethren. I don't know about you, but it looks to me like he's mighty low compared to where he used to be. He used to be guarding the throne of God. He used to be that light, that angel of light. Amen. The Bible said one place in Corinthians, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. No wonder in the Revelation the Antichrist will be so convincing. Amen. I'm glad I know the truth, aren't you? I'm glad the truth has made me free. He's the accuser of the brethren. I'm going to tell you something right now. That's a pretty sorry position if that's all you got to do in life is accuse the brethren. But he's doing it constantly. He can't be everywhere. He's not omnipresent like God is. So he's going in and out, in and out, in and out. Let me tell you what he did. Boy, don't you thank God for that blood. Say amen right there. Don't you thank God for that blood. Tonight, look in the future now. We saw him going to and fro in the earth. We saw him accusing the brethren. Turn to Revelation 20 with me just a moment now. Revelation chapter number 20. In the book of Revelation chapter number 20, we're going to see the future laid out here of these selfish choices. You say, preacher, you believe there's a future involved? Let's see what it says. In verse number 1, chapter number 20, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark in their foreheads or their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You say, preacher, I don't get what you're getting at. Well, you will in a minute. That crowd I just read about right there, they weren't living for self and making selfish choices. They weren't living for self. They were living for the Savior. They weren't living in rebellion. They were living in submission. Now watch. Watch what the old devil's up to. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are the four quarters of the earth. Wouldn't you think that a man might soften up a little bit after being chained up for 1,000 years? Here he comes again. Watch what the Bible said. Gog and Magog to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. What a future! To be devoured by God's fire. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open. You say, preacher, what's that small and great? Let me just give you something right here. I believe it's not going to matter how much money you had, what kind of car you drove, what kind of house you lived in. If you die without God, the dead, small and great, are going to stand at the great white throne judgment. Somebody might be poor, somebody might be rich. But small and great without Christ will stand before the great white throne judgment of God. The book was opened, and the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Watch this. And death and hell. What's the future, preacher? What's the future of selfish choices? Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now watch this now. He's not alone. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me give you something. Not just angels followed him, but many men, many women, many teenagers have followed him right off into the region of the damned. God, the Holy Ghost, I can still remember, Brother Lowell, like it was yesterday. when he came to me and convicted me. But I can remember who was present as well as he was, doing his dead level best to get me not to go up there. Doing his dead level best to get me to make a selfish choice. After all, if I get up and get saved, what are they going to say? What are they going to think? As a matter of fact, he told me that they would throw me out of the church. He told me they would laugh at me. You know what he is? In case you don't know, he's a liar and the father of a lie. No one laughed. They didn't throw me out. They wept and they welcomed me into the family of God. But I had an opportunity that night to make a selfish choice. Oh, I'm going to get embarrassed. Well, let me ask you something. How would you like to compare that going up and getting saved? And by the way, there's no embarrassment in that. There's something that has to be set aside before anybody gets saved anyway, and that's self. That pride has to be set aside. And you have to say, Lord Jesus, I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. Here I come. Oh, you say, preacher, I might get embarrassed. Well, let me ask you something right now. I just read about the future of selfish choices. Brother Gary Joe, you reckon them folks is embarrassed because they listen to that devil? I believe they are, Brother Ralph. I believe they had it to do over again. They'd say, man, I wouldn't listen to the devil. He's a liar. If they could come back, they'd say, folks, don't listen to the devil. Don't live for yourself. Get saved and live for God. The future of selfish choices. Now watch this. Oh, you say, preacher, I know some people that are saved. I believe with all my heart they're saved. And they live like the world. And they act like the world. And they look like the world. Well, let me tell you something right now. That's possible. Later on in the series, I'll talk about men like David. There was a time in his life when he looked like the world, he acted like the world, he lusted like the world. Say amen. You say, well, preacher, they're not going to be there. They're not going to be embarrassed. But let me tell you something right now. While we're looking like the world, and acting like the world, talking like the world, living like the world, somebody else will be there because we weren't the witness we were supposed to be for Christ. You say, I don't like that. That's a tremendous responsibility, but it's on us. God left us here to be salt. God left us here to be light. God didn't leave us here to live for ourselves. God left us here to live for Him. I don't know about you, but in my mind, who was it today? My. Today, I believe I was told this. I can't get it back. Who was it today? Somebody told me this today. Where was it? Somebody told me today about somebody that got saved. Just today. My mind is sleeping me right here. Told me about, I know who it was. It was Brother Frankie. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me my memory a little bit. Brother Frankie, I talked to him on the phone. He preached over in Weber City, I believe it was Weber City or Gate City, one of them two cities over there at the First Baptist Church this morning. And they gave him a wonderful love offering. And he said a man walked up into him and said, I owe you an apology, Frankie. Brother Frankie said, why? What? What is it? He said, you and I went to school together, and I knew you were lost, and I never mentioned Jesus to you. Well, thank God he got to apologize to him here, and he didn't have to apologize to him at the great white throne judgment. Think about that. Somebody, I wish you would have told me. Why didn't you tell me? I wish you would have told me. I'd a whole lot rather it be, I wish I would have listened. God does not force his message on anyone. But I tell you what, he wants us to share his message with everyone. Tonight, I see the foolishness of selfish choices. How many can see that? I see the followers in selfish choices. Somebody's going to be following us, like it or not. Somebody's going to follow us. And I see the future in selfish choices. All wrapped up in this message on this Lord's Day entitled The Origin of Selfish Choices. I don't know about you, but I believe if we would really examine it, we can't afford it. Our families can't afford it. Our church can't afford it. Our community can't afford it. Our country can't afford it. For you and I to live for ourselves in rebellion, when all we would have to do is submit to God and live for others and live for the Savior in submission. You say, well, preacher, somebody make fun of me. They might. But I tell you, that day I just read about there in Revelation 20, you'll be glad you're on the right side. Amen. Blessed and holy are he is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I have part. You don't know why? Because my part's with him. My part is not with death and hell. My part is with life eternal. And this life is in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. He's going to change our vile body. Until then, we need to try to bring this old vile body under subjection to the precious Lamb of God that loves us and gave himself for us. How many's ever heard somebody testify? And when they got done, you thought God was dead and the devil done took over. How many's ever heard something like that? Amen. We don't need to glorify him in anything. Amen. We need to glorify our Lord in our testimony and in our life. I believe with all my heart, it'd be a shame to leave this service tonight unsaved, knowing that in the future you'll be told on anyway. You can't hide it. You say, preacher, you don't know my heart. That's the truth. But he does. You say, preacher, you don't know my heart. That's the truth. That's the truth. All I can see is the outside. But God sees the inside. The origin of selfish choices. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to come in your presence. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you've magnified these truths, Lord, tonight in our midst. God, I don't. God, help me not to be like Satan and live for myself. Lord, I know I'm a child of God. Lord, if I go to living for myself, somebody else will fail to see Jesus. Lord, if I go to living for myself, then my wife won't be happy. My children won't be happy. Just one, Lord, in a family can go to living for themselves, and Lord, the whole family's in turmoil. God, help us. Lord, in our church, it wouldn't take all of our deacons. It'd just take one. Go to living for theirself. Oh, God, how it would hurt our church. Help us, Lord. Lord, I pray tonight for mothers, for fathers, for our youth, for our children. God, deliver us from ourselves. Help us, our Lord, to live for Thee. God, if there's somebody here tonight, never been really changed by the grace of God, I hope they can see their self tonight, Lord, hanging over that eternal pit of fire. God, I hope they won't make the selfish choice tonight. Leave here tonight in their pride and in their sin. God, I hope they'll make a choice tonight for the Savior. That they'll humble their heart. That they'll run to Jesus. That they'll be saved this evening.